Saffron Planet, making sense of it all.
Around about 6 weeks ago, we did a talk about what was happening at that time in Florida, Lakeland. I said it was in Texas, but I realised it just shows you how, you know, how early in the days they were, because since then, no one in the world could actually not know where Lakeland is these days. And that is why we're doing this repeat programme, because it didn't go away, did it? Basically, you know, we did say at the time that we would revisit this subject, and which we are doing now. At that time, we didn't know much about it, and we presented the pros and cons the way we saw it. And the conclusion we had is that it's something we should wait and see, to see, you know, if the promises were fulfilled, all the things they were saying in Lakeland concerning the revival and the effects of the revival. Now it's 6 weeks along the line, we can sort of evaluate what we perceive as you know, the outcome of this Florida revival or healing outpouring. I've been thinking about this.
What renamed it though?
It's now called the Florida Healing Outpouring with Todd Bentley.
I don't think they're calling it a revival anymore, are they?
No, they're concentrating on the healing. They've accepted that it's not a revival in the normal sense. I think so. The word healing is very prominent in all their merchandising, basically. T-shirts and mugs and everything else.
Anointed handkerchiefs.
Yep. But I haven't seen any of that actually. But in theory, it's really concentrated on the healing. There's an example of that, which perhaps sort of will explain our position, is that last night, which is the July the 4th show, and the reason why I say show is because it seemed to be a show rather than anything, you know, profoundly religious or, I'll keep my hands together. They were doing baptisms, mass baptisms, and it was a little bit mayhemish, and whereas in the baptism, as Simon would agree, you have to go for a formula, you have to sort of elicit a response off the person, do you believe the Father, Son, Holy Spirit? That probably happened in about 10% of all of it. Some of them were just ducked into the water. Some of them just came for healings. So the whole context of the baptism was in the context of healings. People were coming to be healed. Mm-hmm. And thought that the baptism was going to heal them. There was the theology was a little bit upside down. So it sort of shows me that even though it was a baptism event, the context of the revival was a healing context. So it was almost like healing baptisms, if there is such a thing, or if there isn't, there is now in this movement.
Has it become the normal now, though? Has that become the norm that there's a baptism involved in this? On the stage?
No, it's the first time they've ever done baptisms.
Or have they just televised a one-off?
This is a one-off mass baptism, which they did say earlier in the week we were going to do on this Friday. We're going to do baptisms.
Okay.
And they had the water. You know, they had all the big massive.
So people came for that then.
They knew it was baptisms, but they were coming to be healed at the same time.
So it could have been Christians that were already baptised.
Oh yeah, they've been rebaptised. I don't know how theological that is.
Again.
Yeah, in fact, you could tell because a few of them said, oh, this is my first time, whereas all the others didn't say that. And some of them actually baptised about four or five times. One of them was a translator for a group of Chinese who didn't speak English. And she kept getting caught up and accidentally baptised every now and again. In the end, her glasses were hanging off, she was bedraggled. Half the time she was under the water trying to translate, and they kept banning her as well, you know, this ban business and all that. But joking aside, I've been thinking about the whole thing, and I think seeing this in a wider context of the Christian world, and looking at perhaps in a sort of end time scenario, as we some of us say it, you know, there's sort of three types of Christians. There's a sort of Christian that is sort of a Sunday Christian that, you know, just goes to church and says their prayers and goes home again, and doesn't think, you know, and turns their brain off. Of course, you dear listener don't fit into that bracket, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to this show, hopefully. Then there's, as far as I can see, I might be wrong about this, but there are two worldviews There's one type of Christian that says that the world is going to go down the chute, basically. It's getting worse, and there seems to be evidence for that, and that we get to a point where things are so bad that Jesus returns. He returns to us all a broken world. That's one point of view. The other point of view says the world is going to get better because Christians are going to be empowered and are going to be taking the world for Christ, filling out stadiums, preaching the word, massive healings, whatever. That basically is the movement that Todd Bentley and the Florida Revival are coming from. So what I'm trying, by in a way of introduction, if your worldview is that, then you're the type of person that would probably be aligning yourself with the Florida healing outpouring. If you're the type who believe that the world is going downhill, then it is not consistent for you to actually follow what you're seeing in Florida. It doesn't, you know, and we're hopefully going to be maybe explaining that further as our conversations meander. Looking at about six stony faces here, waiting for some great insight.
The new edition of this translator, actually.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, it's probably on YouTube by now, and it's probably in the top 10 of ridiculous moments on the television. I could carry on if you like. I realise not all of you have probably seen it as much as me. I mean, Steve has seen it, but he's our engineer and he can't talk, and he fell asleep halfway through the last time he saw it.
Well, it's a very interesting phenomenon, and I know that probably, I'm not quite sure when this is taking place, but in Marsham Street there's going to be a series of meetings, isn't there, that I've heard advertised.
Yep.
So we shall hear when it comes to London what the effects of that will be.
Yep.
A series of meetings from somebody that I think is
part
carrying
of revival.
The
anointing.
Is coming to
impartation.
So we can report back after that, see if anyone goes there. And
but one thing we did say 6 weeks ago when we did our first broadcast is that this is a significant, very, very significant, and it can only be one or two things. It can either be a deception or it can be a true revival of God's healing powers and whatever. And in a way, we have to say it's one or the other. And it's our responsibility to sort of tell you what we believe, but at the same time, we don't want to do it in a sense to. We realise a lot of you out there will be confused, or perhaps your own church is taking it on, and you want to know whether your church is in the right or not. Alternatively, your church may have told you not even to look at it because it's so evil and of the devil that just by watching it on television, you could be somehow demonised. So, what we want to do is try to put. Yeah, the
it's going to be a very important issue because when it was in America and it was over there, it was far enough away for us to observe from afar.
Yeah.
But it's getting closer and closer, and it's in this country as well.
Yeah.
And people are definitely getting definite ideas about it, aren't they?
Yep.
There's very strong
feelings
about it.
I mean,
and against it.
Who hasn't seen, YouTube? Who hasn't seen the YouTube?
Although we realise within Christian circles, we think the rest of the world can see everything that we can see, but they can't.
Well, let's say they can.
Within our Christian community.
Can any of you put yourself in the guise of a non-believer switching on God TV while, say, one of those baptisms is happening?
I would be so scared.
Well, I think you're going to either be drawn in or you're going to be totally repulsed by it, aren't you? You think, what a bunch of loonies.
But by drawing in,
it's spoken to me.
You wouldn't say drawn in. I'd say you could be drawn in because it's entertainment.
Right, yeah.
That's that aspect as well. Because we were watching it last night, and we were watching it because we were laughing. You're not supposed to laugh at baptism.
No.
But everyone was...
And I don't think we should laugh at the whole thing.
I know.
Actually,
I know.
At all. I mean, we shouldn't be mocking it
either. Imagine people
because,
laugh at my baptism.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot to take a breath.
Yeah.
And... because he was a lot smaller than me, he dunked me forwards, and I just came flying out of the water, gasping for air, and the whole place was in uproar. But that's another matter, sorry.
Yeah, that's lots
of you're not properly baptised?
Possibly.
Maybe you should go to Florida and get it done properly. So it can only be one or two things. The end of the day.
We witnessed something really weird, didn't we, on the television of what was happening over there with this lady that was praying over him, laying her hands on him. And her head was, I've never seen anyone's head shake so violently and so quickly. I thought, how on earth her brain wasn't, you know, rattling, and how she stood still and didn't fall over.
Her voice was weird. She was breathing in a very strange
totally
way.
Breathless. She was just shaking, wasn't
she? She was a prophetess, and basically. Thought, and that's how she prophesied.
Isn't the Holy Spirit calming?
Yeah.
And,
It
was,
it brings back memories of let's say the spiritualist church,
right?
You know, where somebody then suddenly becomes this doctor from Germany, and they behave strangely, and
they take on
a different voice.
Did the features change or anything like that?
You couldn't see
her. I couldn't see her face. It was shaking.
As she was doing it, she was proclaiming a prophecy over Todd Bentley.
So, what was the nature of the prophecy?
But she had her Bible open. This is what I can't understand. You see, you're reading the Bible, and I've always thought that if, you know, a demon or the devil or whatever, they couldn't possibly stand to hear the words of Scripture and truth. At the same time, they'd repel each other.
How did she read it? Her head was moving that fast as well.
Well, she had, you know, the words.
I've actually got the words here. You can actually, there is a website you can go to where you have transcripts of a lot of
Clarice
things.
Fluitt.
Clarice Fluitt. Maybe that's not her. That's a bloke's name, isn't it? No, I don't know. I don't think it was her, actually. I think I got the wrong name. But the point being, that was part of a ceremony that happened on June the 23rd. Was supposedly a meeting of the apostles, modern day apostles, where they proclaimed this as the most important church meeting since the Book of Acts.
Oh.
And it was led by a chap called Peter Wagner.
From Germany?
No, America. He's like chief apostle, apparently. And all the rest were other apostles. Big chief apostle.
Sorry.
Are we mocking? These are people who were leaders of all the revivals, from the Kansas City to the Toronto and Pensacola. It's all part of the same movement. This is just the last of, or the latest of this sort of whole stream of revivals. And they were all on the stage, and they all prayed over Todd Bentley, and they gave him apostolic authority, something as if they were conveying on him, like to say, you are now one of us officially. And they all, and the words were all very, very spiritual and powerful words, and I've got them all written down here somewhere. And then each one of them in turn prayed over him, and she was one of them. And then, like, he got up, he was on the floor while this was happening, and then he got up, and it's like, you know, he's now, the church is behind him. And basically, the movement from that point became official. Mm. It's like, you've now joined the club, you know, you've joined the Apostles Club, or whatever. And now this revival is kosher. Well, not in its normal sense of the word.
Well, bless you.
That's right. So what do we make of that? Because all these things are happening, and, you know, us humble Christians, what do we know of apostles? And, you know, what are these people doing on behalf of the Christian church? What is a non-believer? What's the impact on non-believers? What's the impact on the church? You know, especially if it's not real. Mm. And it's a danger. Now, we can read some scriptures out. That can speak into this, and I don't, you know, don't want to be, I don't want to, was it, to rain on their parade, but I suppose someone has to. 2 Thessalonians 2, talking about at the time just before the man of lawlessness comes, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. And then it says, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. Hmm. If that is a necessary thing to happen in the end times, do we believe that is what's happening at this moment? A powerful delusion.
Right. That verse said, can you read that again about all sorts
all
of
kinds
evil?
Of counterfeit miracles, signs and wonders.
Just
and,
before that.
And in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing.
Right. Because what you're seeing on those programs is healing, though. I mean, supposedly what you are seeing is people being healed.
Yeah, miracle signs and wonders.
They're the miracle signs and wonders. So the, are we talking about their lifestyles? Are we supposed to be looking at the you know, his lifestyle or the kind of person he is or?
Yeah, I'm not saying he's the lawless one himself.
No,
but,
no.
But in what they're doing. I mean,
so what type of healings were there then? The ones that you saw yesterday evening or whatever it was?
What, during the baptism?
During the baptism.
People were coming with back problems who've got... I mean, they don't do things by heart. So if someone comes with a back problem who have had a metal bar put in their back, basically God was going to not just heal the back but take away the metal bar.
And did he?
Well, who knows? I mean, they didn't have a metal detector there anymore. No. Even if they did, would you know if it's working?
What about teeth? Teeth being filled, this type of thing, or brand new teeth?
A few gold teeth here and there.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that in this. I've heard that
well,
in the Dudley one.
That was a case, wasn't it? You know, people's teeth were being filled with gold.
That's a Toronto one.
Not mercury.
That's Toronto, isn't it?
Why not get fresh teeth?
Yeah, I don't know.
What else then was happening? People who couldn't walk were walking?
Oh, yeah.
People who couldn't see were able to see?
Yeah.
Have you saw that?
Well, yeah, but how do we know? I'm not saying it didn't happen, and I think people, and we said before that God will still work there.
Yes,
despite them, despite these people.
But also, how many of these things have lasting?
This is it, yeah.
How long do they last? Are they real? Which ones are real? Which ones aren't?
Yeah.
It's only something you can gradually follow up over a period of time.
Because we used to look at the way, it's not how a person goes down, it's how a person comes up.
Right.
The change in that person's life, whether it be healing or emotional,
in the long
or
term
physical, yeah.
But there's no structure in place to do that because they claim like 10,000 healings. How are they going to follow them all up? I haven't seen any follow up. There's no website or any attachment to their website that gives documentary evidence of the healings or following up at any testimony of someone afterwards. I'm not saying it isn't happening. But we need to be.
We need to question the spirit, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I think so.
It's just something that we're being told to do.
Because, I say the devil's advocate, but I mean it in a positive way. In that, some people at the extreme would say that this is so dangerous that you shouldn't even go to the meetings, and certainly shouldn't be touched by them, because you don't know what is being conveyed when he's touching you and going bam, or headbutting you, or kicking you. You know, what is coming from him to you, you know, obviously he's claiming the healing power, but he's mentioning extra biblical things like angels, healing angels and other terminologies using that I've never heard of before. But they're using it as if it's the vocabulary of the Bible, but it isn't. It's the vocabulary of the revival people. But if they use these words enough times, you think they're biblical.
Of course.
And people don't have the knowledge to discern.
No.
You know, so there needs to be, you know, a bit of teaching or training. Do any
something
other?
Something that came up last time, I think, during the discussion was whether the gospel was being preached at the same time at these meetings.
Yeah.
And the verses that I'd found in 2 Peter, which hit me when, you know, I was reading the other day, was 2 Peter 2, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. And I think that is what strikes me as the most dangerous thing, is when you bring the truth into disrepute.
So could this be a heresy? Could we see and this as a heresy?
Well, it's just the fact that if you bring the truth into disrepute, you're causing people to go astray, aren't you?
You're doing more damage than possibly.
Yeah, and you were saying, you know, if someone switched on the television and saw this and thought, well, this is what the Christian faith is all about.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not clear. He doesn't make clear what it's based on, the gospel. He doesn't talk about gospel of love. He doesn't talk about forgiveness. He doesn't talk about
sin.
Repentance, all those things.
I know, it's not... there were the odd mention of it in the baptism service as part of the liturgy, but as the crowds were coming and coming at him, he sort of dropped the liturgy and just said, bam, you're baptised, that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's it's a show.
The other thing that I know that I brought up and I was talking to you about the other day was take yourself back into the Old Testament and what would people have thought about the prophets in those days? Because they didn't listen to them, did they? Did they think they were strange? How did they proclaim their message? Did they come across as lunatics? I don't know. John the Baptist, he must have looked quite strange.
Some of them were.
I'm stepping back because we live in a different world. And
yeah, I mean, Jeremiah was seen as a bit strange, wasn't he, in the Old Testament?
Obviously, you're, I mean, I'm trying to give him every chance to, not redeem himself, but, let's see what...
All the prophets of the past, I would think, would be people that wouldn't draw attention to themselves, except through their words. Now, I don't understand why Christian would put tattoos on themselves after they're a believer.
Now, who's this then? This is...
Todd Bentley.
Right. I don't know too much about this man. I've heard his name mentioned and...
He's an evangelist.
Yeah.
And he's a young man, but he's been around for some time doing it. Checkered past, but, we won't hold that against him. But.
So you're saying he became a believer and then was tattooed?
Covered, smothered in tattoos.
Right.
He had some, didn't he?
Maybe one or two. But you've seen, there's evidence of it on YouTube. You actually see him preaching with hardly any tattoos at all.
Right, so,
God told him.
Is this through a baptism? He's come out of the water and he's been tattooed?
No, not a miracle. He actually had them done. It's not a miracle.
He's had them done.
He's actually had them done since he became a believer. Yeah. Supposedly.
Has he been interviewed?
In the direction.
What's
he said then?
I don't know. I can't watch everything.
Right.
There's so much about him on the internet. There's no chance you're going to. It's more about him than about Jesus on the internet.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I'll say that. I don't know, probably. Now, the thing that really points me out about that is if he means what he says, that this whole thing is Jesus, as you're meant to do in a revival, Jesus is meant to be. What he's actually doing, he's saying Jesus, but he's pointing to himself. He's saying, look at me, I'm an illustrated man. He's making himself a sort of...
Focal point.
Yeah. And if I was God, would I have chosen him as... I don't know. I'm not God, but I would pick someone with a little less pride and a little less flamboyance and... I don't know.
I mean, there are plenty of characters in the Bible, and you'd say, why on earth did God choose them? Why would he choose any of us? We're all flawed.
Yeah, yeah. But...
And it can work. We've all got pride. Inspire to people.
Yeah. But there's other things. I mean, you can go on and you can go on, and most people know this stuff, but apparently he's been to heaven and he's talked to the Apostle Paul. Yeah. I don't know, is that normal?
Well, somebody said that he supposedly taken up and was operated on and had some white boxes put inside him or something, which is for something to do with the impartation that he was giving when he came back down. I haven't followed
when
that
came
up.
Down from where? Mars?
From
or?
Heaven.
From heaven.
Might have been Mars, I'm not sure.
Mars or Venus.
So they're within him now, and so presumably it could be X-ray.
This is second-hand.
It's the danger of the internet, because you really don't know what to believe, do you?
Well, it's a tree of knowledge of good and evil, isn't it?
Yeah. So who's going to volunteer to go to Marshall?
Even if you watch...
Where is this then? Sorry?
Westminster.
Oh, Westminster.
Yeah, do you want to go? You're retiring.
I'm retiring.
You're retiring.
Everybody up retiring on Wednesday,
I
think at the end of the day, we've got to listen to what the man's saying, not what he's doing, what's coming out of his mouth. Faith comes from hearing, so we need to be not just seeing, but what is he actually saying?
Yeah. Well,
did he say much?
Well, the thing is, he's on 3 hours every night. You want to listen to three hours
every night?
I've only
got BBC One, BBC Two, and
ITV. We can watch it on the internet. You can watch the whole thing on the internet.
He says an awful lot, but
it's all about the revival.
When you listen to a good preacher or a good sermon, or you come away.
Lifted.
What's changed? Yeah. Have I learned something? Yeah. But he sends up. I've got 8 million watching here. I've got 3 million watching there. Yesterday we had 2 million.
It's very boastful.
Yes, what you're listening to is him saying, how real this is, and this is happening.
So I had to justify it the whole time. Maybe
it's justification all the time.
Yeah. I think he feels that he has to, because he says that some people literally believe that his works are from the devil. Yeah. So it seems like he's trying to justify. I think really some people have questioned him, because for the first time I actually saw him, I didn't even know the man. I'd heard of him. I didn't know what he looked like or anything. Yeah. And Stephen came home from work, and he had, the programme on. And after an hour and a half of watching him, I've got to admit, I felt more unsettled in my own spirit than at peace. Mm. And he was not using scripture. There were an awful lot of people supposedly had been healed. Mm. Hopefully that was so, because we do know that people can be healed in that way.
Yeah.
But it seemed to me that there were lots of claims of him, that they would go down on the floor and he would do his bam bam, and you're healed. Mm. And that's quite a strong presumption, saying, well, you're healed. And how many of those people truly were healed? And I think this is the question mark.
Yeah.
The fact his head shakes and he's got all these tattoos, because God clearly says you don't mark your flesh.
Mm.
And for him to have all the tattoos, his arms, becoming a Christian, God makes it very clear in the Word that we don't mark our flesh.
Yeah.
For me, the thought of having a tattoo would never ever enter my mind.
Well,
even being a woman, and there's lots of women with tattoos, and all you see is tattoos, and he's proud of them, because I kept seeing him turning his back to the camera. There was nobody behind him. He wanted everybody to see the tattoos on the back of his neck.
Mm.
And be quite honest, I've got to admit, I was quite repulsed.
Mm.
And when spoke to Stephen about it, I said, who is this man?
So even before opening his mouth, just from his physical appearance,
physical appearance, it wouldn't give you, didn't give me peace.
So for someone a God's chosen person at the head of the most important move of God ever, I'm saying that in quotes, you're immediately repulsed by the fact that he even looks non-biblical.
Well, to me, he looked quite strange.
Yeah.
And, okay, you know that Jesus was the most powerful man on this earth.
Mm.
And you don't hear of him shaking his head and doing all weird things and acting strange. And even his disciples, you don't hear of them acting in strange ways and seeing the strange sort of manifestations. And even some of the people, he's saying you're healed. But clearly to me, they were manifesting demonic activity on the floor. They were shaking and doing right strange things.
Yeah.
Okay, we know the power of the Holy Spirit can move upon a person where you can act strange, but that's how I see it. It's the demonic in that person being stirred up by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I would say that person needed more deliverance than anything else.
Yeah.
But he was claiming, that's the power of the Holy Spirit on that person, they're healed.
Yeah.
And
that's so clear to us then. Why are so many people going to the meetings, continue to go to the meetings, watch it, and are so convinced?
Because they're looking for signs.
Yeah, they are looking
for experiences.
Signs,
they're wonders. Hungry for us.
Yeah. And I just think, I mentioned to you earlier about David Hathaway over in Russia, who's evangelising, and he's got thousands of people coming out, and all he's basically doing is just preaching the word of God.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard that.
He's doing it normal, and people are coming and placing their faith.
And they've been healed.
Jesus,
massive healings.
And people who couldn't see are now being able to see. People who couldn't.
So the healings came after the preaching of the word.
After the preaching of the word. It's an evil generation that seeks signs and wonders.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also that man, David Hathaway, he spent years in prison, didn't he? In Russian prison.
He's been an incredible man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think, that's just blessing on his life and anointing on his life.
He might actually put something out,
He's
been through persecution, and he's locked up in prison and all the rest of it. And I think that man, David, learned to trust in God.
Yeah.
Learned to place his trust.
What we need is commoner garden Christians, are proclamations by those Christians who are who we look up to. Mm. You know, what is David Paulson saying? What is David Hathaway saying?
Yeah.
We need it. I've been to, the EA.
What about the Archbishop of Canterbury?
Oh, yeah. He probably doesn't even know about it. Oh. But all he's worried about is gay bishops. And but the Evangelical Alliance have put out some statement. It's it could be this, could be that. Let's wait and see.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I think it has to be a case of waiting too, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think we have to be careful.
I think we've waited a long time now.
Yeah, but we do have to be careful.
Longer than that,
is it?
It's about 3 months now.
Well, I only became aware of it about 4 weeks ago.
I think starting in April.
Right.
He's coming to Britain, isn't he? He's coming to a nation. And really, when you when these big movements happen, let's face it, you know, what come out of Toronto and Pensacola, you're drawn to an extent because it's so different. Let's face it, we truly want to see those manifestations of the Holy Spirit, because we know that they are real, we know they are powerful, we know that they stay and they're good and healthy. But the thing is, I think because some of us are looking so hard for it that we can be gullible and we can believe when it's not really so. And even ourselves, we can be so taken in.
I mean, he's coming to stadiums, and for me,
he won't go to any small place.
No, say the very word stadium implies a performance.
He is a performer,
and it is a performance. You watch him; he's playing to the crowd
very
the whole time, and that is concerning.
Because Billy Graham came to stadiums, and he
didn't do it as a performance, though.
He
preached the word of God and nothing else.
You said stadiums.
Yeah, I know, but in this time, it's
the number of people.
It's just a combination of Todd Bentley, the stadium. And he says he wanted to go to the NEC, which is like the biggest stadium. He wanted the biggest.
He doesn't want to do anything in the play.
NEC, that's Canadian exhibition. That is the biggest exhibition in the world.
He's Canadian, so maybe that's it. Maybe he's bought it.
Well, you know, it's the danger in it for me is that gullible Christians are being made fools of in front of cynical non-believers, and it putting them off.
Because
it's easy to be cynical about these things, but
I can see Christians
a view
that aren't gullible that are convinced by.
Well, they may not be gullible generally.
Label people because either they don't toe your
it's only a view,
but also non-gullible, non-naive, intelligent,
but if
know,
it, if it is untrue
out there that do believe
if it's
him,
if it is untrue,
on what basis
are
they believing?
Are being gullible,
on what basis are they,
whether they're not gullible about other things, but if they are falling for something that isn't true, then they are being gullible about that.
That shows how powerful spiritual deception
absolutely
is, then, because you've got intelligent
the only evidence they got is the healings, and which there's no real evidence unless you're the person being healed or you know that person. I mean, compare that to say a Billy Graham or David Hathaway, who are preaching the word of God, and you know, and the words touching your heart, and you're converted, you know, or you know, you go through a process.
The
it's about
signs and wonders are following.
But the signs and wonders are just about those people who you've got no evidence whether it's really happening.
But were there signs and wonders with Billy Graham? I thought he just preached and
people
either responded. I don't know of any physical healings. I did hear about when he came he came in the '80s, didn't he, over to the UK, and there were people who have been estranged, is it?
Estranged.
Husband and wife living apart.
Estranged.
And then what happened, they happened to turn up at this meeting, they bumped into one another, it was a miracle, and that they were kind of reconciled.
Oh, right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, my mother-in-law became a Christian at one of those in the 80s, Billy Graham one in the 80s. Yeah. At that meeting, she became a Christian.
Yeah,
at the meeting.
Didn't have one leg grow longer than the other, or
she did. Unfortunately, they were both the same length. Stop. Just to walk along in the gutter.
She had something better than a healing.
Well, it is an emotional healing.
Healing is just the body. I don't know how many of them are real spiritual healings. So, I don't know, with a true revival, surely your salvation is more important than just physical healing.
Well, it is. I mean, I heard something beautiful on the radio the other day, and one of my favourite ministries on the radio, and he was saying there was a lady in a wheelchair, I think, and she was saying, what's more important, that I get healed of this, or that I become a Christian, or just something similar to that. And he said, there are no wheelchairs in heaven. You know, it's most important that you are saved. And, you know, when you, the minute you die, you are, you know, there's no wheelchairs, there's no illness, there's no pain, there's nothing. You'll be totally whole, totally healed then. And the most important thing now is not that healing of your physical body, it's your repentance, salvation. The healing of your
inside. I seem to recall a joke where somebody was sitting in the wheelchair and they prayed for healing and the wheelchair had two new wheels.
When I was watching that programme with Todd Bentley, there was a lady, she came up, she'd had a blood disease. And she came up and she was proclaiming she was healed. Yeah. Now, how can you literally say your blood's healed? You know, okay, we know there's life in the blood.
I know.
And for her to make that statement, and he said, you're healed.
Yeah.
And to me, that was such a tall statement.
Yeah.
And there were people going down on the floor, up and down, up and down. Yeah. And it was the big emphasis, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed.
Yeah, I know.
But
yet they do say on their website that they know that not everyone is healed, but he still says it anyway.
Yeah, he does.
Well, that's a good compromise, isn't it? That's a good way.
I think sometimes you can say...
That's one of the ways we're talking about that wasn't healed.
Yeah. Sometimes you can say that and you could have that word of knowledge inside that, you know, the Lord has healed that person.
Yeah.
But to the multitudes that are going before him, and I think the thing that worries me more than anything, they're going to him.
Mm.
They're not going to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to God. They're not being drawn to God and Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, the great healer.
If I was God and I was visiting this upon my people, I wouldn't use a sort of a healing ministry, because healing is all...
It's a word we stand on, isn't it?
You're seeing one person, he may be healed, maybe not. But watching it, people are very cynical by their very nature. And it's so easy for us, in our cynical nature, not to believe it, and that's the end of it. But if it was good preaching, and good preaching will get to the heart, that will get to the cynical heart as well.
Yeah,
That's the only way that this generation could be touched, is something that touches individual people who are watching it, not just that person up the front. Because people won't believe it. Why would we... I don't think people were signs and wonders for our generation. Too many things could be tricked. We have too many answers. We can say it's emotionalism. We have psychologists that can explain everything, you know. But the preaching, the word of God, surely that's the only way.
This is going to be like a modern day now, for this day phenomenon then.
What?
Because as many believe we're in the last days. Yeah. So do you think that, or the end times?
Absolutely. Matthew 24 says, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. That's a feature of the end times.
There's also a verse that talks about even the elect will be deceived. Yeah, that's right.
The elect. Yeah. Well, especially the elect in this case, isn't it?
So, and that's
so
challenging, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think we've got to be very careful as well. We've got to be careful. We don't know the answers, do we? We're not judging this man at all. We're just looking or hearing about what this man's done or what he's doing and trying to weigh things up. But we don't know the answers, do we?
No.
And we ourselves have got to be careful that we are not sucked into something.
Again, as we said at the beginning, through this broadcast, we've got to try to sort of talk to those who are undecided.
Mm.
We can't be seen to be too judgmental, as you said. But sometimes you have to say the truth, you know, if it does seem to be not of God, we have to say it.
Oh, yeah. I think we'd be doing people a disservice.
Yeah, we need discernment. The Lord warns us to be discerning, to test the spirit, to have that discerning. And I'm just thinking of a woman. I encountered this woman. She was from Canada. And she said, oh, she said, I'm in this country to work with you. Now, God had not told me that he was sending anyone to from Canada to work with me in spiritual matters. And I straight away questioned that, and all of a sudden her forehead was on mine, and she's speaking in tongues, and I'm thinking, I felt real uncomfortable.
Well, we should have asked her going to the washing up.
I think maybe I should have. But it was so uncomfortable, and I just knew that no way was that woman sent by God to me. And it proved that she was an implant into our church at that time, and she was very damaging. She was separating her husband and wife. She was having him, as he put it, at her footstool. She was teaching him. She baptized him in the bath. And she was the most unhealthy spiritual person I'd ever come across.
Yeah.
And we, Stephen and myself, we actually asked her to back off this man, because we were calming him down, because he was out of order anyway. Mm-hmm. And she turned on Stephen and myself, and it was like the devil turning on us. Her veins in her neck were all raised, her face was distorted.
Oh, well, where was she coming from then?
I know, and it was quite scary, actually. It was quite scary, and as we walked out, I just thought, no, I'll wipe the dust from off my feet, you know, because she was certainly not coming from God.
This is what you'll probably get if we're very judgmental, speaking to someone who's been very much for Todd Bentley.
Mm-hmm.
And if we say certain home truths, the way we'll see it, the chances are that they will react in a very similar way, perhaps.
Yeah, they could be very passionate about it.
But then it could be, why is it? Is it because they've put him on a pedestal? And we see that how many times in the Christian world?
Yeah.
That all these leaders, they're doing things in the name of Jesus, but they're pointing to themselves at the same time. And I think this is the same thing. I think it's, you look at all the advertising, you look at God TV website, it's Todd Bentley's Florida Healing.
Yeah, it's big name, Todd Bentley. Yeah. It's not what Jesus is doing.
Not what Jesus is doing.
Look what God's doing through Jesus, through this man. It's very much maybe
I think the this younger generation as well, maybe they've seen the church very much asleep.
That's true.
Not doing anything, and
this is a young person's thing. The rock music,
and you're thinking, hang on, here's something really happening, and they want to be excited about their faith, and they're sincere because they want to be excited about their faith. And I think this generation as well have been brought up now. I remember bringing up our children going to festivals, you know, Christian festivals with bands playing, because we want the Christian faith to be exciting for them. We want it to be relevant. We want it to be exciting. We don't want it to be irrelevant and to die out. Of course, church will never die out, because God will never allow it to die out. But, this generation maybe...
Yeah.
They've become a victim of what we've created for them. We want
this is a celebrity culture revival.
It's a type of culture they've been brought up in. Yeah. So I can see that a young generation really being caught up by this.
But is it just young people?
It's not actually. There's plenty of old people. Mostly young, but there are plenty of old people.
I'm waiting to see Todd Bentley in Hello Magazine. Sort of pictures of his house.
Halo Magazine.
Yeah, Halo Magazine, that's right, yeah.
Does he make a fortune at all?
Who?
Money. Is there any question of money?
He says he doesn't. He says he gets a basic wage every 2 weeks.
Yeah. But the people who attend, are there to... Does he have a nice big collection?
They have a bucket or whatever.
And do they announce how much money is...
Last night, during the baptisms, they were asking for money during the baptism.
He was asking for thousands. I turned him on one night. He was going, there's only 4,000 people here now. If I really wanted money, I'd have started talking about it when there were 7,000 people here. It's midnight. I mean, people to give me money now. And he was talking about, send $20,000 now, or if it could only 10,000. He was asking for people to send $20,000 or $10,000. If you're really poor, $5,000.
Was this idea? I mean, was he actually talking to the TV public or just the people at this baptism?
The people there, and there's phone-ins to
Did you get this kind of idea that he was saying, even if you haven't got the money, what you had to do, have got, give me, and
he didn't
will
quite
look
go no. that far. No, he hovered around the higher figures.
Right. I haven't seen the excesses that you tend to see on satellite TV, but as satellite TV are responsible for this, I have seen certain aspects, like last night during the baptisms, he was asking for money. And he said, oh, if you've got £1 million, you can send it. He sort of said it half jokingly, I suppose. But it's a sense of on God TV, they say, send your money in to keep the revival going. As if the money runs out, that's the end of the revival. What it means is it's the end of the transmissions. The revival will still go on. You know, God doesn't need money to keep the revival. If it is
God
a revival.
God TV's doing very well.
How are they doing, Steve? You can't. Yeah, good? Yeah. Oh, his lips are sealed. This is the man in the industry. He hasn't got a microphone, but he says they're doing extremely well.
Not said.
Okay. Anything else? Have we all talked about?
Is it just him alone, then, or are other people connected to him?
It's his ministry.
His ministry. And are there other names?
Yeah,
well,
Fresh Fire, isn't it? Fresh Fire.
They call Fresh Fire, but as I said, on the 23rd of June, they had this apostolic commissioning service, and the people that came on were in their sort of field. They're very well known.
You mentioned Peter Wagner,
like John Arnott from Toronto. Yeah. Peter Wagner, there's a few others.
Right. It was my most important thing since what was it?
Since the Book of Acts. Since
sliced
communion.
Since the Book of Acts.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's what they're stating. That meeting on the 23rd, a prophet said that the key period is between the 22nd of June and the 22nd of July. And apparently this was said back in January.
So this is like midsummer's night or something, isn't it? Think about it.
Yeah.
What about Dudley?
It's a midsummer's night dream.
Nightmare.
Have we heard anything about Dudley?
What's happened
up in Dudley?
Oh, Dudley, sorry. Dudley Watch tells me a dodgy vicar has been
From the last meeting, we plan to keep looking on the internet to see if the local newspaper had reported anything, if there was anything fantastic happening because of revival happening in Dudley, how would it impact the community as a whole? So to look at the newspapers on the internet would be a great idea.
Shall I tell you
so
the first
what's
one
been the news?
Okay, last week, preacher is jailed over child porn.
Which preacher? preacher from Dublin?
Might be. Doesn't say. A lay preacher at a church. There's a rock festival. A bus driver's been killed. And someone died at a wheel of a car.
So love hasn't broken out, basically.
We say that. We maybe seem cynical, but they did say, and this was about 6-8 weeks ago, a preacher at Dudley said a great revival is going to sweep England, starting in Dudley, and it's going to have effect over every part of society. So the Dudley News, which is like within a mile of the stadium.
People, then really evil people.
Anything
been on BBC Dudley?
BBC Dudley.
Or BBC Midlands or something, I don't know.
I suppose what we're saying is wait and see part two. I mean, let's see what happens when they come to this country properly.
Let's find out what happens after the meetings in London.
Next week.
Is it next week?
Yeah, Phil says next week.
Okay. Is he filming it?
No. Steve is.
What about Germany? Is it in Germany yet? Or have we got to wait until they go over there before things to break out?
It's on the whole world.
Welsh revival. It broke out in Wales and also in Zingen in Germany.
It did.
At the same time. It has been happening there.
Well, because you've got TVs everywhere.
It's everywhere.
It only goes if it's been imparted and taken there by plane.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. God needs a plane to actually
leave. In America, though, there were people who said they'd seen it on television in England, got on a plane and gone over to Florida to testify of a miracle that happened through the television set.
But they still needed the laying on hands to transform.
For the impartation,
which is spoken of in the third person, so it can't be the Holy Spirit. So it's interesting. What is this impartation?
Words are interesting, aren't they?
So I think we have to be careful who puts hands on you anyway.
I know, absolutely.
The impartation.
What is being imparted?
He's got a part here. I'm accountable to God and to those who have sent me to speak wisdom into my life and ministry. submit to an accountability team that comprises of pastors and spiritual overseers from varying backgrounds and denominations. So obviously he's aware that he is accountable to God.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, we also know that in that accountability, we've got to be very wise.
Mm.
And what he does with people and you know, whether it be healing or imparting something that is not healthy, he is accountable to God. And if he hasn't got that godly fear, that healthy godly fear of knowing what I do with your people, Lord, you know, I am truly accountable to you, and what will he receive? You know, is his reward on this earth, or will he have a reward in heaven? Because if he's not serving God and he is serving himself, then
but he probably
he's going
thinks
to have a very rude
God,
way. Well, this is it. Well, this is where we can be in such a delusion. We can
because
be so deceived.
Even the people he's accountable to, if they're of a similar type, then
well, you could have put the same
could
spirit
be just
on them.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Yeah,
you know,
that spirit
they
could
may
be
have
transferred.
They may have made him the man that he is. You know, I mean,
Could have made him.
He's
yeah,
just, he's just
point,
the,
yeah.
the spokesman of this whole movement. Yeah. It is a movement.
They could have
it's
made
not just
him. Yeah, they could
he's
have
not just
made
a one-off maverick that's come out of nowhere.
So that's the point. Have they made him, or has God made him?
Yeah.
And that is that's the acid test. Who's made him?
But isn't
or
isn't
has
it connected
himself?
To these Kansas City prophets?
Yeah. It's the same spirit.
And they prophesy certain things were going to happen back all those years?
Yeah, and they didn't happen. It was a fail.
It failed.
So
and it ended up in disrespute as well.
Right,
Toronto Blessing, Kansas
question,
City.
So anybody actually visiting him to see what's going on might be useful to bear that in mind and question.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I mean, this is going into strange areas about these angels, is that the angel who was one of the main angels of the Kansas City prophets, Emma, is the same angel. This is an angel, a female angel who's his guiding spirit.
Emma.
Who once belonged to one of the main prophets of the Kansas City gang, who has been discredited. And like this angel has then been passed over to Todd Bentley.
And it goes back to the 1940s, isn't it? To another.
Back to the 40s as well.
What's his name?
William Branham.
Branham,
yeah.
That's right, yeah.
It name doesn't ring a bell. What's that connection?
I don't know. I haven't really analysed William Branham.
What I've read is he had a rather dodgy downfall.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
What those years? That's 60-odd years, isn't
it? Yeah.
A connection with Israel there, isn't it? 60th year, 60th birthday, 60 years. Could there be some parallel there?
Could be. Could be. Might not be.
Probably not, but could be.
Could very well not
be. On the one hand, there might be. On the other hand,
perhaps
probably not. Neither either. Right.
Interesting thought, though, when you said, you know, he might think he's doing the right thing.
Yeah. We don't.
Yeah.
I don't think he's evil.
No, he's not evil. I think he's evil. Yeah,
I
if think, anything.
Yeah. And I think you get that of a lot of Christian leaders who start off with good intentions and then pride. Yeah, you know, other people make them what they are. If he goes into a stadium and everyone starts worshipping him, you know, he might at the beginning say no, it's God. Eventually it might wear him down and he might start thinking more of himself, and out of that comes a monster possibly.
And that's the reason why we need to pray, isn't it, for our leaders.
Also, if you bring it right down to a personal level, there's degrees of your influence over people, isn't there? Because we can all do wrong things.
Yeah.
We can all think one day we're doing the right thing, and it can be wrong.
Very wrong.
And you have to repent of it, and you say, you know, I was wrong.
Yeah.
But then I suppose, you know, there's various degrees of influence.
This is not going to happen.
Where
can you imagine?
You are,
they're not going to.
You're teaching.
If they suddenly realise they're wrong, do you think they're going to stand up and say, I was wrong? Do you think God TV are going to say, we were wrong? Here's all your money back. We were wrong.
Things go just very, very quiet. Yeah. If something.
Well, Toronto, the laughter and all that sort of thing, that's gone down,
rather
isn't
than
it?
People
yeah, but what is the right thing to do? The right thing would be, particularly if people have been led astray and they're responsible for all those souls, surely...
They've stopped all the programming, haven't they? They've given all the timing over, time over, the air time over to this.
Yeah.
Phenomenal, millions of people.
Yeah, well, I'd say people should be watching. People should be watching Revelation TV, shouldn't they, instead? You know? You don't want this imported stuff. Watch good homegrown English TV. RevelationTV.com. How much do I get paid for that?
Has it been on this Revelation.com TV?
No.
Not yet? Will he be, will he be featured, do you think?
I think they haven't made a decision.
They're not
on
made
this yet,
a decision.
Yet,
no.
Not properly. Okay. So, summing it all up.
Wait and see.
Wait and see. Is that. But.
Again,
wait and see, but in the meantime, be very cautious.
Cautious. Don't jump in feet first. Don't jump in feet first. Read, read your scriptures. I mean, we would direct you to, if you wanted to be sort of deeply negative and analytical, go to 2 Thessalonians 2, Matthew 24, and 2 Peter 2. And that's probably where our position is. But on the other hand, if you have been healed,
let us know.
Yeah, let us know. That's a good idea. Mm. Let us know. saffronplanet.net. We like to show all points of view. Or in fact, when you, if you're watching or listening to this on the web, then write a comment on the website, which you can do. Register, write a comment, and we will do another follow up, which we probably will do on a monthly basis. So we'll leave it there, unless anyone else has anything to say.
I'm just thinking, what about people? Let's say we've actually gone along to one of these meetings now. Feeling a bit troubled, you know, what would be your advice to them? You know, Christians, you know, what would our advice be to them?
What if
they've been
troubled
to a meeting and possibly allowed him or another to lay their hands on them, you know?
Well, God is always going to redeem them. I mean, no one's lost. I mean, if they have taken on something dodgy, then it can be dealt with. But they just need to find someone to pray with them, don't they? I don't know. I mean, there's one organisation that have taken this on board in this country. That's Reach Out Trust. That'd be a good people to talk to if you have any problems. I don't know what the website is.
ReachOutTrust.org.
ReachOutTrust.org. So go there, or just type into a search engine, and you know they've actually got a really good article about the whole thing, and I think it's very well written. So you know, go there.
Also, don't forget the verse that says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither anything in the present or the past, anything in all creation, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ
Romans
Jesus."
8, isn't it?
So there's nothing that can separate us.
Well, that's good.
That's a good one.
I think what you'll find is if people are worried in case they're starting to sort of have any sort of other sort of manifestations and feeling somewhat strange compared to what they normally feel like. And I believe that you can ask God to forgive you for coming before somebody that maybe not of, you know, coming from the power of the Holy Spirit. And by asking for God's forgiveness, you can ask God to heal you from anything that is unhealthy, and obviously to deliver you from anything that is not healthy. And you can even pray for yourself, anything that is not from you, Lord God, to be away, you know, to go from me in the name of Jesus. You know, and those words in itself are powerful enough, I believe, to be able to help a person that is feeling more disturbed of coming before Todd Bentley Ministry. You know, you can certainly look after yourself.
Yeah, that's good. That's good advice.
I've got that verse now.
Wonderful.
Romans 8:37. "Now, in all these things we have complete victory through him who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from his love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor other heavenly rulers or powers, neither the present nor the future, neither the world above nor the world below. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord." That's the good news.
Amen.
Very much so.
I think the danger will be when you have friends, you have brothers and sisters in your church, you have family members that will draw different conclusions from what's happening. And I know that there are verses in the Bible that I mean, normally the verse that when Jesus talks about, you know, I come to divide, I will divide, you know, brothers, sisters, family members. You know the verse, familiar with that, isn't it? But that's to do with when you come to faith that, you know, you will find that you will not agree about things. But within the church. But and within our families,
your church
that
is
might
taking it, aren't they? Or some people?
Well, not wholly. No, I mean, again, there's fors and against, you know. So from that alone, it's causing. You can see it causing a split. But the thing is to try to soften it so that it doesn't become a huge, a big deal, you know.
And who, what power on this earth wants Christians to be split? So that makes you think as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If that's an outcome.
The devil can cause division between the body, whether it be for all those that are for Todd Bentley, or those that are for more sort of spiritual matters. And the word of God, because when it boils down to it, it's only the word of God that we're going to stand on anyway.
Well, again, going back to
spiritual works.
Going back to our earlier talk today, I mean, that's one, the major split is right from the off has been between Judaism and Christianity. That's been that first big split to separate that. And now he's separating.
If the devil can separate the body of Christ, then let's face it, and we can be deceived enough to be separated.
I tell you what's
that
really,
can be so dangerous.
Really divisive about it is the fact that it's across all denominations. So it's not like just the Anglican split. Who cares? You know, but
it's everybody.
It's everybody.
He is touching every denomination in every country that he can get into, and I think that's where people are questioning, and that's where people are getting scared, really, because you know the dangers of what that can do.
But I can remember, you know, if we go back to the Toronto blessing business, and I can remember a fellowship as a man and woman. And they were quite level-headed about things, and they would always say, test the spirits. And as the church began to move more into this business of, you know, the Toronto blessing, newer Christians would come alongside them and said, what do you think? What's your view on it? And they would say, we don't know. We don't know. Just be cautious. Yeah. You know, don't be deceived. And I can remember the pastor speaking to them, this couple, and saying, you're either with the church or you're not. You know, keep your views to yourself. Well, I mean, that's a balanced view. We don't know, they were saying. And then what happened at the end of the day was that anyway, the church moved on with this Toronto blessing thing. And then the pastor asked these two people to leave because they weren't with the fellowship. But the worst thing, not so much that they were asked to leave, but that the congregation was actually told, don't talk to them. When they leave, kind of a communication.
It's like Jehovah's Witnesses, isn't it?
It's a Christian church, born again believers, but I mean, there's your division. It's absurd. I mean, we should be asking ourselves, is that normal? Is that normal to come up with that?
But this is the same spirit. But this movement comes out of Toronto, and you know, the same's going to happen, isn't it?
It's very dangerous. But as you said, though, what that couple said, just be careful. And keep watching, because let's face it, God does prove things to be for him or not. Yeah, he will prove. He will prove to the to his children, his, you know, his followers.
And it's the end of the Matthew 24 prophecy, for false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. If that's not happening now,
it's a warning to us to be careful.
And it's signs and miracles, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's what this is characterising, this movement. So from starting off with a position of great balance, we seem to have
landed on one particular side of the fence.
Well, if no one's going to speak for
us, we've nailed our colours to the mast.
But we're happy for, you know, next time if we can get people even to come into the studio, come into our Plus New studio and you know, fight their corner and, you know, have a debate.
Perhaps you could turn it into boxing matches. Well,
is that an invitation to Todd himself to join us in the studio?
Well, of course, yeah, because we are a major concern here. You know, we're you know, well funded.
Don't go down that road. Please, sound like somebody.
Only if our listeners are listening, they extend in 20,000, even 10,000,
and you will be blessed a hundredfold. Oh, yeah, there's a whispering going over there. That can't be biblical. I'm sure you've been picked up.
Yeah, it says women mustn't speak.
Oh, right. Yeah.